I declare that you have a river of life flowing through you, and as you pour out to us, the Lord pours into you to be his mouthpiece, and the river flows, and I declare we all receive it.
I agree with that, and I just add that you have his heart, that when you wake up so early on a Sunday morning, I declare that your time of prayer with him opens your heart to his, and that because of that, you can pour directly his word for this body for this day. And we receive it.
Yeah, and I agree with all of that. So, I declare that, we declare that, that communion meal fully satisfies. But now we're speaking to the bread that is the word. I smell bacon. I smell hamburgers cooking on the grill. I smell Hatch peppers grilling. And where there's a grill, there is fire. So we're speaking to the word. We, this body, is hungry, and we smell it.
Someone say, feed me, Jesus. Yeah. You know, I think we'd be surprised in society if the Lord really showed up, how many people really wouldn't want that. How many of you really do want it? I had a little encounter coming down the hallway upstairs a while ago, and I felt like I was walking through not the valley of the shadow of death. I felt like I was walking through like a cylinder, and the angels of the Lord were escorting me. So you can always tell a lot by who escorts you. So it's good to have the angels escort you into the house of the Lord. There's something about being caught up into the supernatural presence of God that transforms our life. Even though I don't seek that as far as seeking a sign or manifestation to bring validity to who I am, I really enjoy the presence of the Lord when he does come. And I'm praying this morning that he will come for you, that there will be a manifestation of his presence into your life. How many hunger for that today? So the Bible said if we hunger and we thirst, then we'll receive. There's something about hunger that must originate out of your heart. And I was praying the Lord to show me what to speak on this morning, and I just told Cheryl, I said, I have no clue. And I often find that the Lord leaves me with no clue. How many have ever felt clueless? Well, believe me, I sympathize with that feeling, because often I feel clueless in speaking, because there's something in my heart that really cries out, Lord, I don't want to speak a word or about the word, but I want to speak the word of the Lord. And I hope that God will speak this morning to our hearts, because I think at the conclusion of the service, God's going to give you an opportunity and give me an opportunity to respond in such a way that literally could be some of your salvation, some of you restoration, some of you something that you might not have thought you would have received in one service. When the Lord does something dynamic for you, it's often very suddenly. It often happens to you like pow, like Todd Bentley used to say, pow. That's not how he said it. He said, pow. Bam. Bam. There was a bamming, powing, wham, Batman expression of the Lord that often comes. And Lord, give us some bam this morning. It wasn't pow, it was bam, right? That shows you the generation I'm from. I would say POW, the newer generation says BAM. How many are part of the BAM generation? How about the POW generation? Okay. How about the WOW generation? Can you all raise your hand on the WOW generation? Say, we're part of the WOW generation. Amen. So I want to talk to you this morning about a subject I never talk about, and that's the heart. Back in 1991, how many have ever heard of Kim Clement? Yes. Kim Clement is a very famous prophet who's, Lord bless him, he's in the cloud of witnesses now, but one of the most profound prophets that's ever walked the planet. And Kim was speaking at our church, and there was another group that was called Redeemed Church that was barring our church that night. We often let them use our building because they were meeting in a school. And there were several hundred people here. And I didn't know Kim. And I came into the service late. And right here on the front row, Pastor Bob Nichols was saved a seat for me. And Kim was leading the worship like he often did. He had this long mane of hair, and he was from South Africa. And, you know, he was Mr. Cool himself. In the way, you know, I don't know what it is about Texans. We always get enamored with South Africans. You know, Rodney Howard Brown had quite an impact upon us as well from that country. But I'd walked in the door, and I walked up to Pastor Bob, and I whispered in his ear, I said, Bob, I really need a word from God. And Kim, within a few seconds, stopped the service, and it was a very loud service. Everybody was rejoicing in the Lord. And pointed at me and said, sir, I have a word from God for you, and you know it. And he said, you have a heart of gold. And what God has put in your heart, he wants that to be shared with many people, the love that's in your heart. This is 27 years ago. And it just simply confirmed to me the previous 20 years. Of course, it's been 47 years now. The previous 20 years, that wasn't what even the halfway point, but it really confirmed to me this pattern of God dealing with my heart. And so a lot of the ministry that I've ministered to, especially in the last three decades, has been talking about the attitude of the heart, talking about that the heart is the center of everything that happens in our life. And understanding that, knowing that once our heart is established and gets right, there's an unlimited ability of God to express himself through us. See, there's one thing that we understand, that we either take one or two pathways in life. Our life either becomes ever-increasing expression of who we are and the nature of who we are, or it becomes an ever-increasing expression of the nature of Christ. Oftentimes, the deception lies in the fact that we don't see the difference between the two. We often think that the reactions we have and the expressions we have are of the Lord, when they're actually not originating from Him, they're originating from ourselves. Because when it comes from the Lord, there's a purity about it that's different than what we can create. It's like when you love someone, there is a natural love that you have for people. If you're a decent human being, there's a certain measure of love that you carry, right? But it's so much different than the true agape of God, when there's an expression of love that comes from the depth of the Spirit. Because the love that we carry, the love that we manifested, is usually conditional. And it's usually based upon our perception of what we believe something to be, whether it's true or lie. But when God loves, He loves totally different, because He's looking at the heart of the individual, not at the temporary circumstances they may be going through. How many are glad that you're not judged by the temporary circumstances of your life? But the Lord always looks upon you with a view of eternity. He always sees something in you beyond what you're able to see in yourself, and especially, usually, what most people are able to see in you. Because God has absolute faith in that which he's created. When the Lord brought you forth, birthed you in the Spirit, his faith for you is so incredible that we can't comprehend it. His love for you is beyond description. That's why it says, I have not seen nor ear heard nor entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love him. So a kingdom, the kingdom of God becomes revealed through the heart of the believer. Jesus was the example of how to reveal the kingdom, wasn't he? He said, the kingdom of God is within me. Can you say that this morning? The kingdom of God is within me. So the kingdom of God, if the kingdom of God is within you, then the kingdom of God wants to be revealed through you. What's the kingdom? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. See, the thing that happens is that we get so caught up in the activity of life that we forget what the essence of life is. We substitute action and activity for the reality of life. Life does not consist of the things you do, even though that's part of what you are. It's not what originates what you are. What you are is originated in the depth of your heart. Because the kingdom is revealed through the heart. The Bible said through the heart, all the issues of life are revealed. So everyone here, does everyone here this morning have a heart? I've turned to someone and say, have a heart. Okay. Yeah. Every one of you has a heart. And so one of the questions I was posing to myself was, if there's a heart in us, how do we define that? How do we see it? Is it some entity? Is it some special little place in there? But really we understand the heart is the sum total of who we are. The heart is not just part of what we are, it's the total of who we are. Because see, God said, I want your whole spirit, soul, and body to be preserved blameless to the coming of the Lord. In other words, I want everything within you to become an expression of me. Body, soul, and spirit. Because what's in the heart will always be revealed. It says, out of the heart, the mouth will speak. So that gives you a pretty good indication right there, doesn't it? On whether you're really manifesting the spirit or the flesh or even the devil. What are you speaking? What are you declaring? What are you saying? Because that reveals who you are. That's not in itself who you are, but it reveals who you are. Because you're greater than the things you speak, because God's doing something greater in you than what even man can perceive of who you are. So our heart becomes an expression of who we are. But it also sets the stage for us to become who we're to be. See, it's not just focusing on who we are now, but we focus in this context on what we're becoming today and tomorrow. Because the heart, the beautiful thing about the heart, it's a very flexible organ. It has great capacity. And, you know, God calls it the heart because he wants us to look at our hearts and draw the comparison. And since I'm a man that's endured several heart procedures over the last 20 years, in fact, I'm kind of a walking miracle, to be honest with you, that I'm even here. And so, well, I didn't know about that. Well, I didn't Facebook it. When I go in the hospital, I don't Facebook it. Forget about it, okay? I haven't Facebooked all my issues because my issues are not the issue. How many know that your issues are not the issue? I never approached the Lord, Lord, what can you do for me? I only approached him, Lord, how can I become more like you? Because as long as you are need-based, and granted, the younger we are in Christ, the more need-based we are, because we're just like children. The younger a child is, the more needs they have. But some of you are acting like children when you ought to all be mature, but some of you ought to be mature by now. Now, if you're a child, we love you and we'll bless you. We'll nurture you as a child. But some of you have been along too long that you quit thinking you're going to be treated like a child. Time to grow up. Put away childish things and begin to take on the things of sonship. The Lord said, I'm creating a people. I'll be their God, and they'll be my sons. Amen? They'll become the strength of the earth. They'll become the expression of who I am upon the earth. So I've learned something about the heart over the years, and I've learned it's a very delicate organ, but also it's a very enduring organ. It works in both concerts at both times. Not only is it sensitive and delicate, but it's also very designed to last a long time. But God's heart's even greater than our heart, because what God's creating in us is the revealing of his nature through us. Jesus said that about his Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, he's not saying that you've seen this flesh, that's what the Father looks like. No, he said, if you've seen my motivation, if you've seen my intention, if you've seen my heart, if you've seen what I choose, then you've seen what the Father chooses. You've seen how the Father loves. You see how the Father believes. This is the heart of God revealed to you through me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You see, I'm not going to be satisfied. I'm not going to stop until I feel that I can one day say that as well. If you've seen me, you've seen him. Shouldn't that be the cry of the church? See, the church needs to realize we're not out here to impress the world with what we do, but we're here to let the world see who he is by what we become. Because the doing comes out of the becoming. And it becomes a powerful expression. I got to get to the scripture. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 43. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. I just remembered, I'm going back to the prophecy when he said that you have a heart that many need. He went on to say, because of your heart, because you kept yourself before the Lord, many will turn against you because of what they've seen on TV. And I don't want to go into that explanation, but that was an exact prophecy because there was a thing that happened on TV, not here, but national news that I took a particular stand for a brother in the Lord, and I received a lot of flack from it. And he said, the Lord said, I'm going to remove them from your midst that won't walk with you, but then I'm going to bring those that will hold your hands up. And he said, because of this, he said, I'm going to bring you a great increase of finances. And I got to thinking about it last night, because at that moment, 1991, our finances were pretty bleak. And I just got to figuring it up. Now, this isn't what I've made or what I accumulated for myself, because some of you know me, know that I haven't ever accumulated. That's not my nature, is to accumulate. But from 1992 up until this point, there's been over $70 million that passed through my hands. That's a lot of money. $70 million. Now, that's not what I've made personally or whatever, but that's how much I was stewarding. I stewarded in the last 26 years. That much money came through my hands that I had control over where it went. And that came out of that prophecy. And I didn't even realize it today, because today I'm thinking, where did that go? You know. And I don't know if you remember that time I went to Barbados. Did you go to Barbados when I was there? Wasn't that cool? And I found that poem last night. It said, when Bill Hart comes to Barbados. Remember, they received us like kings, didn't they? And they wrote a whole deal about how that this, what we were bringing to them was this incredible spirit in Barbados. Believe me, you don't want to preach in Barbados because they don't use air conditioning. And Barbados is close to the equator. And they're from the English tradition. By the way, they love God in Barbados. When the first cab I got in, they're playing Christian music. A guy on the plane, I was flying in the plane, and this guy was kind of half drunk, and he didn't know I was a Christian. He said, "You're going to Barbados?" They were flying out of Miami, and I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, they're weird down there." I said, what do you mean?" He said, "Man, they're playing Christian music all the time, and they don't like for you cussing, and they don't like you doing all this stuff." And, you know, he was just on and on. I said, "Hey, well, I'm a Christian. You know, I'm a pastor." And he didn't talk anymore the rest of the trip. And so I'm thinking, well, what's going on? So I get there, and I get in the cab, and the Christian music's playing. And everywhere I go, people are praising the Lord. And they're very formal because they come out of the British tradition. And you go to church, and you have to wear a suit. And it's 98 degrees with 98% humidity. And they've got like 20 fans piled all around. Just woo, 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 the air, but it doesn't do a bit of good. I mean, you know, moving hot air only makes things worse sometimes. It makes it hotter. And so after a while, I noticed my suit was wet on the outside. That's bad when you sweat through your suit. So I finally got their permission by the grace of God to remove my coat before I had a heat stroke. Amen. But there was such a beautiful expression. But as I'm saying that because this thing about the heart, when you put your heart in the right place, there's no limitation on what can happen in your life. When you take the restraint off of the anointing that God wants to release through you, when you take that away, when you pull back the curtain, the veil, when you let God rent that veil, and behind the veil is this glory that God wants to reveal. There's no limitation to what God can become. The only one that can limit that expression is you. By your insistence upon holding upon those areas of hurt, rejection, pain, fear, those things that hinder the Spirit of God moving through your heart. Where does the deception come in? It comes in because of the rejection. By nature, we're rejected people, aren't we? So when we carry a spirit of rejection, that will begin to manifest into a spirit of rebellion. Ultimately, that begin to manifest when all the bad fruits begin to manifest. Because you see, you cannot say that you're a good tree, but you have bad fruit. Sorry. I don't care how much you try to convince me that you're good when your fruit's bad. I'm sorry. Something's wrong in your heart. Something's wrong in my heart. See, I know that none of the issues that I deal with normally are even the issue at all. Because most of the issues that I get caught up in dealing with is about someone said this to me, or someone said that to me, or someone did this to me, or someone did that to me. That becomes the issues of my life. I'm always concerned about how others are treating me, not realizing that it means a hill of beans, what others say to me or do to me. What only matters is if in my heart there's a right spirit. There's a brokenness and a humility. The moment you become defensive is the moment you've lost the battle. The moment you justify yourself is the moment you've lost the battle. The moment you condemn yourself is the moment you've lost the battle. The moment you condemn others is the moment you've lost the battle. Because when their heart is right, there's no limitation on the expression of God through your life. But when the heart is wrong, no matter how you struggle to produce, you'll always fail. You can go to seminar after seminar, counseling session after counseling session until you're blue in the face. But until your heart is changed, you'll never change. You'll only keep recycling the stuff over and over again, manifesting in a different way than what was manifested in before. Because even after a while, we get sick of how it manifests, so we change the mode of operation. So simple. David was a simple man. Do you love David? Said Saul went to choose the next king. He brought all the sons. Nah, these aren't the one I'm looking for. I'm looking for someone a little different than them. And it says it in 1 Samuel. Where does that say it? 1 Samuel. Where's a good scripture when you need one? Page what? Okay. I got it. Y'all can shut up now. Okay. But so Samuel said, Lord said to Samuel, don't look at his appearance or at his height of his stature because I've refused him. For the Lord does not see as a man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Amen. So then that's when Jesse called him in, and the sons passed, seven sons passed before Samuel. And Samuel said, well, is this all? He said, no. There remains one more. He's a young guy. So Samuel said, bring him here. So Samuel took a little siesta till David got there. Verse 12, it says, so he sent and brought him in. Now, he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. How many glad David's good looking? Amen. He was good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Amen. So God chose David because of his humility and because his spirit was right. So when God looks at you, what does he see? When he looks at me, what does he see? Does he see someone that's believing God to have a right spirit above everything else? Does he see us as a people that manifest the depth of humility that refuses any of the accolades or the applause or the appraisement of men, but all we care about is the approval of God? What does God see in us? Does he see in us like he said about David, that this was a man after his own heart? And it's amazing how God chose this flawed individual named David. David would never be ordained by any major group today. He would actually, if he had been ordained, they would have stripped his ordination and taken it away from him because of their perceptions about him. And they might have been right, but they would have missed one thing. That's why God will never use the things that are high and lofty in the eyes of men, but God will only use the things that have been brought into the heart of God. Everything that we build in this world, that we build in the name of religion, must die unless it's been based upon this spirit of David. Amen? So the Lord told me in 1989, you know, we had the fastest growing church in Austin. And God humbled me. Believe me, when I tell you this, I don't ever seek to be humbled by God again. I want to humble myself. Because when I've had to have God come in and humble me, it's not been a pleasant experience. I hate the book of Hebrews when it says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and he scourgeth every son he receiveth. Because I've been chastened, scourged. But then afterwards, it reaps the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Yes. How many times have I come out of that place of brokenness? See, every time I've been in a place of brokenness in my life, it seemed like a place of finality. The reason why we resist brokenness so much is because we feel like it's going to kill us. You ever heard that song, "What Doesn't Kill You Makes You Stronger"? How many of you ever felt like you've been killed before? Someone said, "Someone done killed me." Amen, right? It's in that depth of brokenness that God reigns. He triumphs. Hallelujah. As much as I love you, and believe me, I love you. I'm sincere. I do. I love you like crazy. As much as I love you, my love for you does not exceed my desire to have the approval of God. If I had to choose, which I don't have to, but if I did have to choose, I would choose God, his approval, before I would seek yours. Because if I could get the approval of even a few or a multitude of people that would appease my spirit, would not suffice in comparison to the approval that I feel of him. So when we seek the Lord, we seek him with this motivation of purity. Lord, we want to be pure in the deepest levels of our heart. We want to be purged in our mind. You see, when Jesus came, the thing that John the Baptist said, the one that's coming, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. But it said previously there that he'll lay axe to the root. How many of you here have ever laid an axe to the root in the natural? What's the purpose of that? Making sure it doesn't grow up again, right? If you're a gardener like I am, most of the time I just chop them off at the top and then knowing it'll grow back and chop it off again. But people that really want to get a pure garden or a pure place of soil, they will go down and chop down to the root. They'll pull it at the root because they know that if they don't, the potential still lies there for their ground to be polluted and destroyed. And Lord, help me that I don't allow you to dig deep enough within me that still lets the things foster in me that are destructive to me. That still lets the old wounds still live just a little bit. Have you ever been around someone that's been wounded? What do they want to talk to you about? Their wounds. Have you ever talked about, you've been around someone that's been offended? What's the first thing they'll start telling you about? How so-and-so offended them. Believe me, a lot of people get to talk about me because I offend a lot of people for some strange reason. I don't know. But I mean, just by getting up here and opening my mouth, I seem to offend some people. And so that's what they want to talk about. Because when people are walking in offense, they're walking and living with roots growing in them called the roots of offense. And so no matter how much they try to mask it, no matter how much they try to cover it up with good stuff, the root of offense keeps growing back. And ultimately, it keeps coming out of their mouth. How long do we want the root of offense to keep coming out of our mouth? How long do we want the spirit of rejection to keep dominating our thoughts? How much more we want him and the purity of his love. Please forgive me that I've judged any of you. Please forgive me that I've looked upon any of you with disdain or criticism because I haven't felt you've measured up to what I'd expect. Please forgive me of that because I'm sure it's true. Because my nature still wants to live through me. That old judgmental Bill Hart, that opinionated Bill Hart, that knows he's right Bill Hart, wants to still live. And I declare this morning in the name of Jesus, Lord, lay there an axe to the root in my heart that man doesn't live any longer. but the Christ man lives in me. Wow. So it all begins in you. See, the heart controls everything in your life. The heart is the essence of the spirit, the soul, and the body of who you are. As the heart goes, so we go. Everybody say, we go just like the heart goes. And no matter how hard we try to be right and do right, how many are sick of sometimes wanting to do right, but you end up doing the opposite? You go up to someone and you really want to bless them and love them, but you end up cutting them. And that's why we got in our nation right now a bunch of hate. It's because the hearts of men aren't right. So I thank God that the division has come in our nation. It's the most greatest thing we could have, because what happens when division comes, it reveals the heart. And unless that, if there'd been no division, the heart wouldn't be revealed to the extent that it's been revealed. Because unless the heart's revealed, not only of we as a people in the church, but as a nation, we're destined for destruction. So don't, the Lord said, pray, the Lord said, I'm going to bring a division among you. I'm going to separate the precious from the vile. The sword of the Spirit is going to come and is going to reveal the very intent of the heart. I don't get on the social media so much, you know, because how many know that that's give you a bad spirit? But it reveals your spirit too, doesn't it? So I got on there a little bit, and I believe me, I'm not going to get on there much more. And I just wanted to see what people are saying about things. And what was coming out of people was shocking. The vile words, the cursing, the vindictiveness, the hatred was just beyond description. All in the name of thinking they're right. No matter how good you think you're right, if that's what's coming out of your spirit, you're wrong. You don't have a right to be right. You don't have a right to be right. You don't have a right to be right. You have a right to be broken so that the nature of God can be revealed through you. So I wrote back. Did I go black? Did I go expletive, deletive, expletive, deletive? No, this is what I wrote. I am sorry that you're filled with such anger. You need to find the God of love in your life. Now, you cannot believe the response I got from that. It was worse. It was worse. I just kept digging and digging and digging and exposing. By speaking blessings and truth, it made it worse. If they could have come out of the computer and killed me, they would have. Because I spoke blessing. Blessing. I'm not going to get on the deal and curse and say you're wrong. It's not a matter of who's wrong and who's right. It makes a hill of beans. The only one that's right is Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. I don't have a right to an opinion. I don't have a right to my thoughts that are antagonistic and mean-spirited and full of vile. That's not my right. My right is to manifest the nature and the heart of the one who redeemed me by his precious blood. Because I am no longer my own, but I have been bought with a price. And as long as I keep trying to possess who I am, I'll manifest me. But if I'll sell out and become the slave, the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, then I'll manifest his heart to the earth. That's what my rights are. My right is not to be who I want to be. And may I say, it's not your right either. If you're a Christian here this morning, you don't own yourself any longer. Thank God. Aren't you kind of glad you don't have the ownership? Isn't it kind of neat that he's given all this to us and we don't have to become what we thought we should be, but now we can just become who he called us to be. Wow, isn't that great? He's put you on a fast track of success. The Lord has said, he said, I'm going to take you and I'm going to bring you right up to my throne, the throne where I'm sitting with my Father. See, because actually all this boils down to the Lordship of Christ. To get your heart right means that you're transferring ownership of Lordship. You're transferring ownership of Lordship. Someone's going to be Lord over you, either yourself or him. Someone's going to determine your destiny, either you or your destiny is in the Lord. Someone's going to determine your response. Is it you or is it the Lord? Wow. Lord, we choose you. And I can't tell you how many times in my life, and you've, of course you've been around here, you've heard it, but so I won't tell them all. How many times I've come up against the rock. The Bible said that the rock either will fall on us or will fall on the rock. I've become very familiar with what the rock looks like. It's a big old rock. And it's unmovable, unbreakable, unrelenting. And it doesn't get out of my way when I want it to. It stands there larger than I am and gives me a choice. Fall on it, or it may fall on you. We often taught in the spiritual authority class, you know what, you're going to learn submission and authority one way or the other. If you don't learn it as a kid, you don't learn it in school, if you don't learn it in the military, you'll probably end up learning it in jail. Because somewhere down the line in life, you're going to come up against the resistance. And you're either going to try to push through it, or it's going to fall on you. But if you'll fall on it and be conformed to the image of Christ. Wow. Welcome to the land of unlimited possibilities. Yes. Unlimited expressions. My goodness. I've got a goal. I want to go into a place, and then when I leave, I want them to talk about me. Yeah, they already do, right? I want them to say, hey, there's something different about that guy. Kind of like Cheryl's 90-year-old dad's down in the hospital in Houston. Now he's in rehab, but Cheryl was so, Joel, they both were just so thrilled with the dad because here's this 90-year-old man in there, and he's kind of the life of the party. I kind of identify with him because he likes to flirt with the nurses. I like to flirt with nurses, but not in a bad way. You know what I'm saying? I flirt with them in the sense that even with the guys, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, I like to project out so that I can engage a person. And Sue's not buying a word I say. Because she's been with me when I've been in the hospital. She said, yeah, you're flirting with the nurses. It was the morphine. I'm sorry. The morphine made me do it. No. Yeah, sure. Where was I in that? Okay, her 90-year-old dad. But her 90-year-old dad is making such an impression in the hospital. Everyone wants to be around him. Because there's something in his spirit, because of his faith in God. His spirit is just lighting up the room. And that, Lord, let that be us, that when we go in the world, that there be something in us, the light of the world, the salt of the earth begins to come out of us because our hearts are so pure before you. And you've purified the sons of Levi, removed all those hindrances that have held back your will upon the earth. Lord, let my mind be pure because my heart's pure. Let my emotions and my affections be brought into alignment with your Lordship. Let your will become my will. Let your heart be my heart. Let your desire be my desire. Let us be that people, oh God, that reveal your heart to the world. Wow. I must have preached this message. Did I preach this message recently? Because I remember that song came into mind, "This Little Heart of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine." It's been at least 3 weeks, right? Okay. The good thing about getting older is you can say, "I don't remember." And everybody say, "Yeah, we expected that. Don't worry about it." Okay. So that's right. "This little heart of mine, I'm going to let it shine." But I'm really praying this morning, and we're going to leave in just a moment. Darren, if you want to come up. I'm really praying this morning that you won't let this word go over your head. I'm praying I don't let it go over my head. But I really feel like some of us, including me, and I'm including me in this, need to recognize what it says in Revelation 3:20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him." Yes. And I'm praying this morning that I'll open the door to my heart and let that supping take place, that fellowship take place. Because I'm going to tell you, I know in my spirit, my heart this morning, I've got to press into this word. Because I can't allow any more accumulation of that junk on my spirit than what's already been trying to accumulate. If I don't get this, if I don't press into this almost on a daily basis, I start picking up a lot of stuff. I start picking up a lot of resentment, gossip, bitterness, hurt, rejection. It starts just getting on me. How many know what the getting on spirit is? It just starts getting on you after a while. And so if any man sin, let him come and ask of God. And God is faithful and just to cleanse him from all that sin and unrighteousness. And Lord, cleanse me this morning from all that stuff that I'm accumulating in my spirit. I don't want to go out of this service this morning, "Oh, that was a good word. Thank God about the heart." And then rah, 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 rah. I don't want that to be in my spirit. I want to be free this morning of that response and reactions that come out of the natural man. Do you want that too? Do you want to? You want to be really liberated out of this judgmental opinionation and criticism and bitterness and hatred that comes out of us sometimes? That we just say, "Where in the world did that come from? Someone slapped me." You know, where'd that come from? Lord, let it not be in us. But Lord said, when I come, He said, "I won't look at the outward man, but I'm going to look at the hearts of men." And how many are kind of thankful this morning God hadn't really been looking at your outward man too critically? But He is looking at your heart. He is looking at that inward thing. He was looking at that part in you that says, "I want to conform to you." Amen. So Lord, help us this morning. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, open my heart to receive, to be transformed. I repent. You said, "Lord, if I would repent, you would send refreshing from heaven." And I'm asking for there to be a refreshing spirit this morning into my life. Lord, renew my spirit. Create in me a clean heart, as David says. Create in me a clean heart and renew my spirit. Cast not thy presence away from me, Lord. Lord, let this spirit dwell within me that's within your heart. And I turn to you today with everything within me, with all of my heart, all of my mind, all of my strength, and all of my soul. Amen.